today on Ill Soy Advisor, we check in with our soy envoys across the state and check in on planting progress and field conditions. They'll also share some of the burning questions they're getting from farmers, so looking forward to that. Weather is always in the discussion somehow in some way, and more today we'll talk about on Thursday, April 25th, 2024. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Ill Soy Advisor. I'm Kelsey Litchfield, coming to you live from partly cloudy, sunny central Illinois. Let's talk a bit about planting progress, and I'll share our USDA weekly update. As of April 21st, 11% for corn, just about on pace for the five-year average. Soybean progress also at 11% within the five-year average at 6%. So well ahead of that. Winter wheat headed is at 11% as well. So we have 11s just across the board here, which has a five-year average of 5%. Drought monitors also being released this morning, but I don't know many that are probably looking at it unless you're in a big drought zone, because farmers are racing to beat the rain forecast, I think, across several areas. Some calling for heavy rainfall. I thought I saw on the news last night, some areas 1 to 2 inches, maybe some areas might get 3 to 4. But as we all know, we can't predict the weather, so we'll see what comes to fruition. So with that, let's start a roundtable updates. I'm going to start with Karen, who has joined us out of Goodfield, Illinois. At least that's where I think she is this morning.
Yes, I am. So here we are very wet. We had about 6 tenths of rain this week, and we were already kind of slimy to begin with. So we don't have a lot going on. They're getting some field sprayed here and there if they're dry enough. But I've seen planters on the road, but I have not actually seen them in the field.
Thanks, Karen. Anything else going on that you want to share about? Anything weed management? I know you've been looking closely at that as well.
I've had a lot of questions the last 2 days on using generic 240 and dicamba prior to E3 and Xtend beans. And the answer is no, it is not legal. You need to follow the label, especially we're under such regulations and we're never going to be less regulated than we are now. So any missteps that people can hold against us will really be an issue. So my advice is to stick to the label. I know those products are more expensive, but if we want to go forward with less hassle, we need to abide by the rules that we're given.
Thank you. Let's head it over to Craig. Where are you at this morning, Craig?
I am in St. Louis. So I took a whirlwind trip yesterday afternoon down for an event this morning, then I'm headed back up to home for a school event tonight. So I've made a quick trip down. I saw one tractor in the fields, probably between Springfield and St. Louis, somewhere in there. No dust flying, but I did see one field cultivator in the field. The entire trip looked like a lot was planted along the interstate. So I would expect those numbers to jump pretty big. A lot of dead weeds, a lot of things are moving and getting ready to be planted if they're not already. So I saw some crop up, right around where I saw the tractor. So I'm going to say around Troy, Illinois was roughly where I was at when I saw the beans were up fairly decent. But there was just a little patch there where I saw anything up, but a lot was planted. A lot of burned down had worked. So things have progressed quite a bit since the last time I had been through that area. So, but overall, the area looked fairly not fairly wet, but it was still too wet to do much. But I think it's going to hit again, like you said, with the forecast. Yeah.
I saw 1% corn emerge, soybeans 1% emerge. So take that as you will. Who knows what could truly be out there. Shelby, let's jump down to you.
Good morning. Again, like everybody else, kind of, we are soggy here. We had 6 tenths of rain here in Flatville on Tuesday, anything from 4 to 9 tenths in the territory. There had been a pretty good run on the south side of Champaign County prior to that. A lot of guys asking, what are other guys doing when they come in and pick up seed, or just the phone calls that we get. they're wondering, what are other guys doing? Should they be planting? Should they not? Ahead of the rain and ahead of this cold spell, we had a swing of, it was 70 on Monday. It was 32 degrees this morning on my thermostat in the outside and frosty. So my bird bath was froze this morning. So drastic difference from the beginning of the week. And then by Friday afternoon, we're supposed to be back up to 70 again, and again, chance of rain. So definitely a drastic difference from the prior week. There's a lot of guys that, okay, now what do we do? Where do we go? A lot of beans going in the ground, which I'm totally fine with. There was some corn going in the ground, and this first cold drink of water, it makes me nervous. So we'll see how that kind of goes. We were hoping to get a plot in or do a pass of corn before this cold rain, but we couldn't get chemical on. Our guys were trying to get a lot of other ground covered before they could get to our plot. So unfortunately we didn't get that done, because it would be really interesting to see population differences and stand differences, but unfortunately we didn't get that, but that's okay. But otherwise guys are just antsy. I think after we hit this warm spell, after we get through this wet spell, however long it lasts, we'll be headed into warm temperatures and we'll be able to get some things accomplished.
I know I saw a freeze warning up north, even of me, I think towards the east, that was experiencing that overnight. I keep seeing, last freeze of the year. Well, we don't know that. We still have May to come at us. So thank you.
Our average frost free date, last free date is, about this April 25th. So it's not uncommon and not surprised. And so we try and be very diligent on reminding guys when they're going to start planting early. Be aware, we do have some growers that have some beans up. So it'll be interesting to see about 9 o'clock what those beans are doing by then. So it'll be, hopefully it didn't get that for that hard of a freeze, but we'll see what happens.
Yep. See what happens. Kelly, down in Southern Illinois, what you got for us this morning for an update?
Just pick something. River to river, I-70 south. Some guys are done. Some guys have yet to start. A lot of guys are half done. Corn and beans. Most everybody got fungicide on wheat last week. We saw a lot of wheat start to flower Wednesday, Thursday last week. What else? Still very, very dry in places. To give you an example, a lot of people, we didn't get much rain earlier this week. And last week, again, totals went everywhere from nothing to 3 inches. Sampling yesterday in a field that had got a little bit of rain, the soil was moist. You could see the moisture glistening off of the soil core down to 3 inches. And below that, it was still powdered. So while we haven't got, it's kind of funny from the standpoint that the people that were very, very dry last year seem to be getting every rain that comes through. And those that weren't very, very dry and managed to get a few rains last year, they are the ones that are dry and done right now. So it's kind of a reversal that's going on. A lot of corn and beans up. A lot of sick looking beans from PPO damage going through after the rains coming up, going slow. Water hemp is flourishing. Giant ragweed is flourishing. That's about it.
I think that's a good roundabout update. Thanks, Kelly. Drew, I'll hand it over to you. Tell us where you're at and your region.
Yeah, so we're going to be kind of the northern guy. We're going to be a little bit different overall. So thankfully, the Route 80 corridor and north missed that last rain that kind of came through and hit like the Goodfield area and so on. I think what was that on Tuesday or so that moved through. So those guys up there are actually finally getting a run at it. So we're running gangbusters up there, two planters. I've got guys that are they're planning on planting until basically the wheels get wet. In the face of this rain. So that's going to be kind of the northern area. Put a plot in by Bradford yesterday, and then moving much south of that, probably not going to be very fit From there, I'm actually starting loading up plot seed here in my own shed here, like in northern Livingston County, and I just looked across the section and there's a planter going already. So that's kind of where we're going to be through this area as well. So we're going to be getting quite a bit of stuff done. Overall, I guess questions or concerns, a lot of questions around what should we do in the face of this rain. A lot of questions this week on if we should plant corn or soybeans. It was a great week to plant the plant beans, I think, in the face of some of this weather and some of this adversity, but we knew that guys weren't going to listen to us no matter what we said. So we, you know, as far as going to corn, we just ask that you try to go into the most fit fields possible. And from there, we can handle a lot of stress. But if we put that corn in a bad situation, we're going to be fighting that all year long. Weed pressure is starting to ramp up here a little bit. A lot of questions around doing different PPOs. I had a question here the other day of a guy wanting to put three different PPO-based products in a pre-pass and wondering if it would affect emergence. Yes, more than likely, something like that is going to affect your emergence. So a lot of questions kind of around that segment of it as weeds are starting to emerge. Yeah, that should hit. Like the north is going to go wild today until we get rain here tomorrow.
There's definitely a push around where I am in Knox County yesterday, picking up seed, going over to Aledo, then down to Galesburg, and then coming back over. Lots of planters, a lot of dust flying. I've been surprised. I mean, we're not the wettest, but we're not the driest, I feel like, either. But I was surprised to see the dust flying up in the air. Eric, let's hear your update.
Yeah, so cover from Champaign County down to the I-70 corridor, kind of on the east side of the state along the state line. We, this past week, we received anywhere from about a half an inch down to about a quarter inch to the south of us. And really, we got operations rolling this past week with over the weekend and everything. Some guys were able to start getting in the fields on Saturday, but then really by Sunday in the area, Champaign County and a little bit further south was able to really start rolling. Monday was a big day for us in the area of getting a lot of work done and everything. But with that, you know, winds still can seem to be a concern, or is it still a concern with getting your post-emerge or your pre-emerge herbicide applications done. And so, you know, with that, you know, since we did have a big push and, you know, with being heavily involved with retail and everything, there is always that concern that, you know, when we get rain and then we look like we go into an extended rainy period, and then now it looks like possibly this weekend we're going to finally start getting some heat. The always concern is, do we have naked beans out there, you know, beans without anything over top of them with as far as herbicide application. So, you know, that really starts when we run into issues like that, and then possibly beans starting to emerge before we can get back in the field. That's always a concern. So I would encourage growers that as we come out of this wet spell, if you do have beans in the ground that have not have it, any type of herbicide application, really get understand where they are at as far as emergence and coming out of the ground and everything. Because if they are within a half an inch of coming out of the ground, we're really going to have to start thinking about possibly doing some things different with herbicide application. So you're really looking at probably a group 15 along with maybe a group 14, specifically maybe like Fomosafen or a Flexstar Reflex type of application. And so, you know, that really limits, you know, especially non-GMOs. It really scares me for non-GMOs, and I'm afraid I may have some of those out there that are maybe uncovered. But then, you know, kind of shifting gears, we are really seeing a really big uptick of black cutworm moth flights through our area. So I suspect that a little bit later in May, we may see some cutting in this area. And then on a side note, army worms are even showing up too. I actually had a grower this week that actually had to treat some alfalfa fields because of some army worm damage. And then over the weekend, on Saturday, I was actually cleaning up my own personal garden around my house and actually found some army worms in my own garden. Those predators are out there, they're moving through the area. So, you know, if you've got alfalfa, those, you know, really some of these insects are really looking for anything green out there right now. And so they're landing on green fields, whether it's winter annuals or maybe just around your own home if you've got landscaping. So that's kind of what's going on in our area. And then I will say that, you know, last week I did mention that, you know, we're starting to feel the pressure of some environmental groups, you know, questioning our herbicide spray applications. Just this past week, since we last met, there was a Twitter feed that went out in our area. And then I will say I personally seen somebody with a telephoto lens taking pictures of a sprayer in the Champaign area. So I guess, again, I'm going to really warn people that if you are making your own applications, we're spraying in winds exceeding 15 miles an hour, you could get some heavy scrutiny. And so there are those groups out in the area. So I'm not going to call them out specifically, but they are, it is going on. So you've been warned.
You have been warned. Take it from Eric. Definitely. Thank you, Eric, for that update and that reminder too. Before I head over, Stephanie, you reminded me, we did post last night on illsoyadvisor.com an update on the herbicide strategy and how that relates to the EPA and the Endangered Species Act. So if you're not up to date on that, go read that from KJ over at IFCA. Stephanie, I'll have you round us out.
Yeah, so I guess just because Eric just touched on it, I do want to, you know, clarify and confirm what he is saying. We met with Dr. Hager this week, and he is very concerned, as well as the ISA government relations team, in regards to there's a lot of people doing some bad things right now. And I can confirm that these groups have confirmed that they are taking videos of people doing, you know, not great things. So I just want to reiterate, thank you so much, Eric, for bringing that up. It's just, you can't talk about it enough. And so I know it's been a very challenging year to do burn down and that type of thing, the wind, the temperatures, and I know we've been up against rain and so many different things, but we just have to be cognizant of the label, as that's the law, as Karen would say, right? I have lost track. It just seems like it just keeps raining, but we did have a good run in our area, in between the rain and the last rain. We only had a couple tenths, let's say 3/10 to 5/10, around that range in the Montgomery County, Christian County area. And so, you know, we do have some really, people that do plant very early, abnormally early around here. So we do have a couple fields that normally, you know, the farmer that does plant early, you know, that field of corn that is up. Our beans, I'm expecting could possibly be up that we planted a while ago, could be up later this week in some fields. But it's just, you know, slow but steady, just in between the rains. And I expect, people to start going soon here. I ran to Bloomington yesterday. I didn't see anybody going. I did give Brady a call, who is on our board yesterday. He's in Augusta in Western Illinois. So just to get that Western Illinois update. He is finished with corn, not finished with beans, but he did get that last rain. So they are on a standstill for now, for a Western Illinois update. And I know some of the pictures that I've been getting have been coming from Southern Illinois. Kelly, I didn't know if you wanted to comment more. I've been seeing some crazy tall ragweed, like obscene, and like water hemp coming out of the wazoo. And it's really freaking me out.
It's because you guys live at the North Pole, not down here in the tropical zone, where, water hemp and ragweed are very well suited to Southern Illinois, you know, not much fertility, not much water, and lots of sunshine and heat. So, there's a lot of fields that have not been sprayed or had a residual. I mean, one of the things I think that seed agronomists have harped on, chemical agronomists have harped on the last 2 or 3 years with the continued earlier. I mean, we've got stuff being planted in March, corn being planted in March, and with those cooler temperatures, they don't want residuals out there. And so there's guys that plant, you know, naked, so to speak. And so this stuff's growing. And I always just kind of chuckle when I see social media or a coffee shop talk that says, you know, well, weeds are not growing, it's too cold. Well, if your corn's coming up and your beans are coming up, guess what? The weeds are growing, guys. Sorry. That's how it works.
Yes. But stay on top of that for sure.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah. And then I'll just touch on, I do have traps up And we, I guess a significant catch of cutworm moths would be 8. And so I've caught 7 twice. So I haven't quite reached my 8, but I think I'm still concerned, right, Eric? So I think that was a good, you know, watch out. So I think there's a lot of areas across the state that are catching those. I've only caught 1 armyworm moth, but that's not to say they're not out there as well. And I would say my hot topic for the week, and this could be, you know, to Kelly's point, this is more maybe a northern issue. I don't know. So I'm not a weed scientist, but I just play one on a podcast. So for those of you on, I just chime in. But some of the questions that have been coming into the office or some concerns, I would say much more maybe north, not to say it's not happening elsewhere, but having concerns about cover crop termination and then it not dying. I know most people out there are probably using glyphosate, from my understanding. You know, be cognizant of the rate, I would say, especially if it's cooler. Follow the label, as always, with your appropriate additives. I don't know. Do you normally throw in AMS? I don't know. You guys tell me. All right, I see. Oh, yeah. Okay. But I think the key thing, and I've been listening to some, like, cheating and listening to a Purdue podcast, but, you know, it may be warmer during the day, but it's these cooler nights that can be tripping us up. So do you guys, do you concur? And would you need several warmer nights above 40? 50, at least 50? Like, what are you, so it chime in, guys.
Yeah, you definitely need it above 50. But you also have to remember that glyphosate in general works very slowly. And the cooler it is, the slower it's also going to work.
Yeah, I terminated. I have at the U of I, I've got some cover crop trials that are going to actually be ahead of corn and trying to create some bad scenarios and then try to rescue those bad scenarios. And so I'm happy to give updates. Stay tuned to that. But I actually made those last week and they are just finally getting to get a tinge of off green. So I'm hopeful that my heavy rate of glyphosate that I applied last Thursday will be working soon.
Okay. And then I did have one person had thrown in some veg and they had tried to put some 2,4-D in with it too. And then I've heard you can throw in the D word as well to help. I didn't know if you guys had, if you guys had any issues with, you know, veg dying or a legume like that, or it was just a slow death. And I assume it's the same type of thing, just cooler temperatures, especially at night. So anybody else hearing anything on that?
The one thing I always kind of remind growers of is, you know, like especially glyphosate, it basically starves the plant to death, is the way that herbicide functions within the plant. So you need good growing conditions for the plant to starve itself to death. And if we're not seeing good growing conditions for our corn and soybeans, you're not going to have good activity or good conditions for herbicide activity. It's kind of the way I look at it.
Yeah, I think the key is, I mean, it's been tricky because we've had some warmer days, but it just has gotten really cold at night. So I think that's everything, but I probably have forgotten something. So thanks.
Well, let's just open the floor. Any other questions that you've been receiving from farmers that you want to mention? Or did someone else say something and you want to comment on it? This is the time now to just go for it.
I want to throw something in here because so in my newsletter I send out, I've got a lot of questions for those guys in the rain zone about it's getting late and some other stuff. And it's social. I made the comment in my newsletter, social media and the coffee shop are both bad places to get agronomic advice. Although the coffee shop is social media. Generally speaking, if somebody's at the coffee shop, they're not farming. So I don't know if that's the person I want to take advice from anyway, but all I have to say is that I just pulled some quotes from Bob Nielsen to share with some guys. I shared them on Facebook this morning. You know, planting date is not an indication of yield. and there's not real any real correlation between statewide yields and planting date. And you know, it's all what happens after you plant. And as my grandfather would say, you know, plant in poor conditions, you should expect a poor crop. So regardless of when it's planted. So it's not getting late. It's far from late. You know, we knew a pattern change was coming. No, you shouldn't have planted everything in February when it was dry. You know, it's just everybody take a deep breath, calm down. It's going to be okay.
I've had a lot of questions on 240 pre, and it really depends on which generic 240 you're using. Some have 7 days prior to planting, some have 14. But with rain in the forecast, it's even more important to make sure that you wait for that restriction to pass, because if it's raining and there's a lot of moisture, that's when you can have the most damage from 240 pre. And second, just a reminder that generic dicamba for soybeans has a 30-day prior to planting, and we did see some damage last year when that was not held to. So make sure you read the labels and don't just get in a hurry, because cold and wet is the worst time for herbicide things to go wrong.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what if it's traded or not, you can still have issues, I found.
Anything else that we want to mention?
I think the only thing I was thinking of was, you know, just the condition of the crop that's going to come up after we planted into the, when it was ideal, or we'll say ideal, and then it got cold and wet, and you know, keep your eye on that and make sure everything comes up as you would expect. And I don't know that you need to have a drastic plan for any kind of replant. I don't know that it got that bad, but, or at least in my area, but just keep your eye on that too. You may have patches or something like that that you need to fix. But I don't think it's definitely not late enough to have any wholesale changes or anything like that. It's execution time, what you planned on.
I'll just remind people that it wasn't all that long ago that the best yields were the first week of June. So we are definitely not late at this point.
I think that was 2017, if I remember right.
Yep, and I'll just echo what everybody else is saying, is that, you know, usually your original plan is your best plan, just because you've had more time to think about it. So let's stick to that plan until, you know, it's really, you've got June staring you in the face, so.
Anyone else? We're up on our half hour, so I don't want to take it too far, but this has been very informational today. And I think the title of this podcast is Social Media and the Coffee Shop Are the Place to Get Bad Agronomic Advice. So listen to this podcast, right? Well, thank you all for taking time again out of your morning to come and give your weekly update. We'll keep an eye to the sky and look at planting progress through the weekend and next week, and we'll be back here next Thursday. Thanks, everyone.